This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Folks, on our Voices segment, we like to hear about your passion drives and any comments that you might find important that you want to share with us. Andy Frank is the manager of AMI Audio, and he's stepping up to the soapbox today. And this is a little bit of a diversion from what we've been doing lately, reaching out to folks that we've had on the program for a number of years and kind of getting them on into our Voices segment. But I always enjoy Andy getting in at this time of the year for multiple reasons, and some of the things that we'll go over here today on the program. Last year, you joined us and at one point gave us an incredible description of the outfield area at the Rogers Center, but particularly going in and the experience of ordering food and stuff like that. I don't know if you've had a chance to get down there yet, but if you have, great. Otherwise, I'm kind of curious quickly as a fan of the team and someone who is very observant. What have you noticed, what you see with the new phase two work that was done in those renovations at Rogers Center in Toronto for the Blue Jays?
Well, it's great to be back, first of all, Kelly. And no, I have not been to the Rogers Center yet. And I was on StubHub all weekend thinking about it, I have to admit.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't go yet. And it looks really, really nice. The layout of the lower bowl that I think cost them $1 billion, Kelly, if I'm not mistaken.
I cannot remember. I've heard the number immensely several times, and I can't. With both phases, I mean.
It's in that range. And they basically took out everything in the lower area of the stadium, including underground, the dugouts, the works, and then rebuilt it. And the sight lines are really, really nice because it's designed for baseball, whereas the Rogers Center was designed as a multi-purpose football, basketball, baseball stadium back in 1989. It is now focused on home plate and where the action is. So the seats are shaped and laid out in a different way. Sections are a bit smaller. They're not quite as big and blue generic as they were. They're kind of a gray now, blue-gray. They're more expensive. That is no surprise to anybody. The good news is the upper bowl and the outfield and all that are pretty much the same price as they were last year. So the average plebe like me can still go and sit in the upper bowl and enjoy a game as I've always done. But it does look nice, and you know, they're angling for the All-Star game, Kelly. As you know, that's a big deal, and hopefully in the next couple of years to get the All-Star game and show off what they've got. So they've done the best they can with that concrete bowl. I really think they've done the absolute best they can.
I hear it's so different looking. And we know in so many other cities, they have two places, a football stadium often next door to a baseball stadium, where most of us used to say, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? And now we're seeing why. The real fans, the people want to enjoy. Plus, we know that under area of Rogers Center you spoke of. I know being down there was like, where am I, man? It's like I was traveling around some planet on a moon somewhere.
Yeah. It does have the inside of a UFO with... If anybody's stepped inside of a UFO, not that I have recently.
Did you mention the cup holders, Andy?
I did not mention bigger the cup seats. Holders, Ramya.
Everybody keeps talking about these new and improved cup holders. They're not getting any description.
So if you're inclined to consume a large quantity of beverages at one of these events, having a cup holder in front of you at your knee versus having to place it down beside your ankle and then have someone kick it, is an advantage for sure.
The person in front of you got tired of it pouring down into their pants ahead of you.
That's right. So it's for those who indulge, great. It's a bonus to have cup holders.
Okay, you can stick your hot dogs in there too, I guess.
And your wrappers.
Your mini ones. That might be a little garbage can. I like the idea, I must admit, because of spilling. It really, really is. But okay, Andy, we'll get a report when you first go down there and check it out, because I loved it last time, especially the paying thing. It made me start to think a lot about how would a blind person go in there? How comfortable would we feel paying? And I know that's kind of the model that more things are going to. Want to talk about AMI Audio remotes. What's in store, but what's been happening? Andy, it's nice. I think Andy Frank has a budget.
I don't have a Kelly and Ramya show budget, but I do have a budget.
Everybody pull out their spreadsheets.
Yeah. You know us at AMI Audio, we've always, Kelly, going way back to back in the day when we first met each other at the turn of the century, we've always been able to stretch a penny in this department. And
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, but we have been traveling. It's been a lot of fun. Live remotes, for those who don't know that language, it basically is it's a community event. We go out and do a broadcast at a community event somewhere in Canada. We get a chance to meet the participants, meet whoever's involved in doing these things. So it's a bit of an outreach thing for AMI, as well as being an actual live broadcast on AMI Audio in audio only. And we've been doing about one a month on average. But some of them have sort of collide together. And this weekend is a great example of a collision in Western Canada. We have in Regina, we have the Guide Dog with a Purpose Gala, CNIB, of course, at the Delta Hotel in Regina on Saturday night at 8 p.m. That was initiated by my dear friend Becky Czar, who you all know from a couple of podcasts, The Blind Reality, which she did a couple of years ago. One of our very first made-for-podcast podcasts, and then Raising Kindness that she did with her son, Bennett, that wrapped up recently as well. And this is basically celebrating and raising money to raise guide dogs in that area. And there's actually going to be a red carpet event, which is my favorite part of this thing.
Wow.
Where the guide dogs are going to be presented on the red carpet. And it's going to be so much fun to see these dogs. And of course, Becky has had a guide dog for a while. And Lulu is her guide dog's name. And it's been a joy to observe their journey over the last few years. So we're going to meet some folks with their guide dogs. We're going to meet some, there's going to be representation from the province of Saskatchewan. The mayor of Saskatchewan is going to be there. A whole bunch of other speakers. And entertainment, all kinds of things. So we like covering these galas from time to time. This is one of those galas that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, Becky will be there, and so she's co-hosting that thing with me. So that's in Regina on Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Great descriptions, too, of all this. Thank you. You have another one, too, this weekend.
Yeah, so the next day, I'm taking I don't know if it's the opposite of a red eye. I'm taking a 5:30 a.m. flight to Calgary. I didn't even know the airport in Regina was open at that hour, but apparently it is. And we're doing...
I'm trying to come up with the right name for it. The Wheatfield Red Liner. I don't know. Sorry, our friends.
Coffee Express.
That's probably a little better.
My technician, San Baba, and I are going to be taking a flight at 5:30 and arriving in Calgary at 10 minutes past 7 a.m. And then 4 hours later, we'll be on the air doing the Junior National Goalball Finals. Women's followed by men's. That's going to be at Eastern time. It's going to be 1 p.m. Onward. That's when that event is happening, the Junior National Goalball Finals, done by Nico Cardarelli, who's been calling Canadian blind hockey tournaments for the last 10 years on AMI and on Parasport TV. And he's calling the finals. This is the first time we've ever attempted to do this. We attempted to do this, Kelly and Rhonda.
Yeah, before the pandemic, before.
The weekend of the pandemic is where there were the international goalball tournament in Vancouver that we had to cancel. We canceled it on the 12th of March, and then we all went home to work on the 16th. But yeah, we canceled it on the 12th. So this is our second attempt at doing goalball. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't have these kinds of results.
That's great. I'm also looking forward to Nico. I didn't know how much Nico has experience. I mean, I know he's been all over with his Parasport and everything like that, but for goalball coverage, and what a dedicated person too, and a great one to have on our side.
Nico called games, Kelly, at your alma mater down at in Brantford. He's done.
Did he?
He's done goalball. Man. Yeah, that's where he learned, and so we've had to do some tricky stuff to make sure that the court is as quiet as you and Remy both know. A goalball environment has to be dead silent. And how do you have someone with Nico who can project his voice across the country without the help of a microphone? How do we do that? So we're actually going to have a camera on the court following the ball and so on. And Nico is going to be in another room in the facility at Canada Olympic Park in Calgary, calling the game off of a TV monitor. So nice.
Will you have the audio bow for the ball and everything like that, like the inside?
Oh, 100%.
The,
yeah. 100%. Yeah, good, okay. I'm giving you some inside info here.
Good. Wow. I love it.
That's the way we're getting around it. I'll bet you they'll still hear him, even with all the doors
probably
closed.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Man, that's like taking a page out of the Toronto Blue Jays radio team. Now, you stay
almost
here in this room.
Almost.
You
know?
So that's, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, how many hours is it again for the finals that you're covering?
They're 1 hour each. Mm-hmm. So the women's is going to go at 1:30 Eastern time, and then the men's at 2:30 Eastern time.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's talk podcasts because, as you said, you know, podcasts are a big part of AMI audio now. Lots of originals out there, some changes as well, and continuing to develop. You got podcast coordinator Ryan Delahunty moving the whole thing along. So what do you want to say about podcast formulas, Andy?
Well, I didn't know there was going to be math in this interview.
I know, but I did say spreadsheets earlier as a bit of a tease. Yep.
Just don't put the geography
in. If I knew the formula for success for a podcast, I would be a very, very wealthy individual. But I know, you know, I've attended a couple of conferences in the U.S., attended by thousands, and Ryan Delahunty's also attended a couple, because we're learning so much about what makes a good podcast. And the first thing is niche. You want to appeal to an audience that is after a particular, relatively narrow subject. So if your thing is guide dogs, then stay focused on the guide dogs and do nothing but guide dogs. If it's tech, stay with tech. If it's fashion, stay with fashion. The most successful podcasts have a real focus, an audience. They know their audience. They know what it is that they want. And they know that they'll stick with them till the bitter end, as long as they're interested in the subject they're talking about. The second one that's really become obvious in the last couple of years is if you're doing a podcast for the sake of podcasting, you better be on YouTube, because nobody's going to find you if you're not on YouTube. As a discoverability tool, YouTube is hands down the winner more than anything. And I know you might tell me, well, what is YouTube or visual medium? How does that appeal to people who are low vision or blind? Believe me, it hasn't stopped many podcasts from being successful, because again, it's discoverability and using the power of Google's algorithm, the power of Google, which is YouTube, to find things. You know, if you like this, you're going to like that. If you like this, so this, whatever, you can't lose by putting stuff up there. And if you're going to go on YouTube, then you have to follow some pretty basic fundamentals of sound, lighting, captions, transcripts, notes, all those things. These are things that my colleague Ryan Delahunty has really done an outstanding job with. If you go and see a podcast like Tripping on Air with Ardra Shepherd, for example, is a glowing example of accessibility within a YouTube podcast. And these are the kinds of things that I think bode well for success if you follow that. So if you know your subject, you stay focused on your subject, you put it in the right place, and you follow the fundamentals of broadcasting, you have a better chance than most of being successful.
Okay. Andy, that's wonderful advice. It's tremendous, because I know you guys have gone to those conferences, and that's kind of why I wanted to bring this out today. But also, you've gotten some unique programming that also goes up as podcasts. Anything particular that you'd like to kind of give a nod to today? There's some hype about, this is an obscure podcast that I'm not sure a lot of. I think it's something audio review, books review, audio book review, something to do with that show.
There's a tremendously talented individual who works at AMI. His name is Jacob Szymanski.
Oh, yeah.
And agreed.
Tremendous guy. Tremendous. He's been also out on your remotes, too. My good heavens. He's all over the place.
He was in Winnipeg at the Manitoba Accessible Sports Expo a couple of weeks ago and did a tremendous job interviewing all kinds of exhibitors. He is the lead host now, and I suppose maybe the lead producer for AMI Audio Book Review. There is Jacob. Yeah, Jay's pictured on the left over there. And Jacob is, of course, Ramya started AMI Audio Book Review a couple of years ago with Nisreen Abdelmajid. And And then Jacob joined the team. I had no idea when I assigned Jacob to take part in this, to what extent he was a consumer of this product. He consumes a ton of audiobooks and has a lot to say about them. It's been a wonderful addition to complement Ramya's obvious talents. And I'm very proud of this show. This is a show that recently featured a version, an Audible product, 1984, based on the book of George Orwell. Ramya can talk about it a lot more articulately than I can, but it's been the review that Jacob and Ramya did of 1984 at AMI Audiobook Review is worth listening to, because they did a phenomenal job in explaining what this unique product is, who's in it, et cetera, and then going through the themes and all the other aspects of that book that many of us read in high school way too many years ago.
Oh, good heavens, yes. And, yeah.
It was great to revisit it. Ramya, what were some of your thoughts on what you experienced?
And mine is contrary to what most people experience, which is that they read the original version of 1984 by George Orwell, which I hadn't. So this experience was my first into 1984, and it was incredible. I mean, first of all, Audible original products are impeccable just because you're signing up for production value, right? But then there's so much more beyond that. So I will just say, check out the podcast episode. And we are going to be speaking with the writer of the show as well, Joel White. So we're looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, we have a clip
episode,
too, don't we? Let's just take
we can listen to a clip from Audible.
Yeah.
This is Big Brother. Freedom is slavery.
Is it just me? Am I alone in possessing a memory?
I'm with you, Winston. I am on your side.
Ignorance is strength.
The dog-haired girl. The way she looks at me.
I'm onto you, Winston Smith.
I am always here to protect you, to watch over you, and I am always watching.
Remember mandatory reading, Andy, that was in high school back in the day? 1949, George Orwell, original at that. And what was the other one? Brave New World. But I like his other book. You know, when you look at, what is it, Watership Down? That was the one I enjoyed. And I remember reading that darn thing in grade like 2 or 3 when the teacher read it to us. A little beyond our years, but really nice. And sounds like, Rumi, you guys really did it spot on.
Yep,
congratulations.
Yep. Check it out. Check out the episode.
It's curious, Kelly, that we read these things, that and Lord of the Flies.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Some pretty curious content to be feeding into the minds of 13-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. Eh? Like, that was...
Yeah, and what was the one you were talking about earlier, Ramya, with Snowball? No, Snowball's from Watership Down with
Animal Farm.
That's right.
Yeah, we did that one early, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
Full Circle with Orwell. Yep.
Full circle, yeah. So, check out that particular podcast, and My Life in Books with Rhett Sale is another podcast. Mm-hmm. It's an audiobook related one. Now, that's an author interview, and Rhett is he's a brilliant author himself, and an episode I'd like to spotlight is called After the Miracle by Max Wallace. It's the political crusades of Helen Keller. That it takes a different look at Helen Keller's life, rather than just the so-called the miracle. It looks at Helen Keller's political work and passions and so on and so forth. So that's one I'd like to spotlight. Max Wallace, the After the Miracle, Political Crusades of Helen Keller.
Andy Frank, we've been spotlighting him here on Voices today. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. We're, of course, overtime. We'll do Voices once a month right here on Kelly.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.
Ramya.